More than 80 years ago, the BBC began transmitting its first international radio broadcasts on what was then known as the Empire Service. These days, of course, we call it the World Service, and you're listening to it now. What made the first international broadcasts possible was shortwave, a set of radio frequencies which allowed signals to travel very long distances, even if the end results could sound a little bit odd. These days, though, far fewer broadcasters focus on shortwave. Here at the BBC, even, our transmissions have been heavily cut back. Instead, we use the internet as well as relying on local FM broadcasters. The signal's a lot clearer. But could shortwave, or a version of it, be about to make a comeback? Here's Mark Whittaker with news of what could be a radio revolution.
A short musical interlude now. Well, sort of musical. This is Hymnen by the 20th century German composer Karlheinz Stockhausen. May not be music to everyone's ears, but the inspiration for a lot of Stockhausen's work, and there was a lot of it, came from the sounds generated by shortwave radio. What are those sounds like? Well, they're like Stockhausen. Here are a few.
You're listening to station KNLS, Anchor Point, Alaska, United States of America.
This is AWR, Adventist World Radio. Welcome to the next 4 hours of transmission through the facilities of Radio Andorra on 6.22 megahertz in the 49 meter band, shortwave.
To begin with, shortwave was regarded as useless, but the way in which signals can be bounced back to Earth from the ionosphere, allowing communication around the curve of the planet, soon made it invaluable for making long-distance broadcasts. Instant communication with remote areas or with ships and aircraft was possible, and long, long before the advent of the internet, there was a kind of social media, with legions of radio amateurs, or hams, able to broadcast to one another from bedrooms and garden sheds around the world.
This is GLK London transmitting on the shortwave band on 10.4 metres at a frequency of 250 megacycles per second. This is GLK London calling HB24D Tokyo. Come in, Tokyo. Hello, hello, HB24D Tokyo. Yoki, how are you?
Tony Hancock in his classic 1960s British comedy, The Radio Ham. What was then cutting-edge humour dealing with what was then, I suppose, fairly cutting-edge technology. Or maybe not.
Now then, where's me valves? Oh, you little beauties. We'll soon have the watts throbbing through you and your filaments growing red-hot, carrying the thoughts and words of mankind to the four corners of the world. Oh, there's nothing like a DS19-87B radio valve.
The biggest problem with shortwave was always the clarity of the signal. Music could sound like it was coming from an ice cream van in an aircraft hangar. And with so many broadcasts jostling for space on so many frequencies, needed the touch of a safecracker to find the right one on your wireless dial. But that was old shortwave. Now there's a new shortwave which its backers say could revolutionise radio. It's called DRM, or Digital Radio Mondiale, and it's a DRM come true for shortwave enthusiasts. At a recent symposium on the new technology, I spoke to the BBC's Nigel Fry. He's the head of distribution for Global News.
If radio is to retain a relevance in the future, then by going digital enables radio to link to internet and other platforms.
So this is sort of digital shortwave then?
Yeah, so our interest started many years ago in broadcasting digitally on the shortwave band so that we could offer the listener a crystal clear signal without the interference that they're used to on that band or the need to retune that they often have to undertake at certain times of the day. 34 million people across Asia and Africa listen to World Service every week on shortwave. And what we've heard today is the sheer volume of receivers that will create a demand for. And what is happening in India is that local business people, local entrepreneurs, are seeing the potential demand for receivers. They know they can buy the raw material, if you like, the chips that they need. They can bring those into the country, but they're able to, and they have started to design receivers that they can manufacture within India because it is what's called an open standard. So they have to pay little or no license fee to use the intellectual property to make their transmitter or to make their receiver or to make all the other gubbins that we need to get radio programs to the audience.
What happens is those quality issues are taken care of, number one.
Yogendra Pal is an advisor to India's Ministry of Information and Broadcasting, an honorary chairman of DRM's India chapter.
Number two, in medium wave, short wave, we give only a mono transmission. But in DRM, I can give stereo transmission. Plus, there are a lot of value-added services that are there, which are not possible in analog. And lastly, the power consumption of the DRM transmitter is much less than of the analog transmitter. It's only about 40 to 45%, 50% at the most I use the power.
So it's a win-win.
It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah. Now, you're going out on the radio now. Are you telling me that in any little village somewhere in India, people will be able to listen to you, the words that you're saying now, in crystal clear quality and in stereo?
Certainly, but today they may not be, because they have to buy
a receiver. You don't sound as brilliant now, but in a few weeks' time or a few months' time...
Certainly. And Indian industry is now working for the development of the digital receivers. I'm expecting maybe next month, an Indian-made DRM receiver is available in the market.
Yeah.
And already NXP has demonstrated a car radio.
So it's good for Indian business as well.
It's very good, yes. It's a lot of potential.
How much enthusiasm for radio is there in India?
India enthusiasm is very good. You see, one thing is that the radio is mobile, number one. Number two, this is absolutely free. And third is, when you are working, say I'm going to the field, I am an auto rickshaw puller. I am working something else. The radio is always on. And lastly, even if power is not there, I cannot watch the TV without power, but radio I can. So the radio listenership and enthusiasm is very good in the country.
Is it important then for people in India to hear stations like the World Service?
Very. There are a lot of listeners who listen to the World Service of BBC also. It's a very popular. But now no more problems of fading and all that. I am going to get the crystal clear digital quality, even on medium wave and short wave.
No more sort of hanging around the radio set going, what did he say? What did he say?
Yeah, very correct. Yeah, it's clear.
That was Yogendra Pal of the DRM Consortium talking to the BBC's Mark Whittaker, who also had a little bit of help from comedian Tony Hancock. And you may like to know that the BBC is already broadcasting in digital shortwave for 5 hours a day to India, and India's domestic radio station is currently building one digital medium wave transmitter every 2 weeks. A new wave of cheaper DRM receivers are expected to be on the market in the coming months.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.